Yeah, so like, how do you have these laws and these wars and these companies that take advantage of us and oppress us and do what they're really known to do, which is take advantage, period. That's what I'm talking about there. I'm talking about Flock right now. I want to go over this with people. And I've shown some of the graphs on like morning shows that I do. I do a show called New American Journal every morning, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Have a lot of phenomenal guests on there. But you see the Flock cameras kind of grow as a cancer across the country. And this is why I talked about in the last segment of Trump being president at a very critical time where you have really this great leap forward, not to borrow from Mao, but seriously with the AI revolution. You think about Project Stargate and $500 billion to open AI on day one. You think about the way that Larry Ellison, Elon Musk and others have been very central at the White House and just around all these policies and the way that these same AI engines, a lot of the time, are used for warfare and combat capability. They are tracking Americans. I want to make this very clear. They are tracing Americans. They are watching Americans. And they are doing the same thing right now to the utmost level, times a thousand, add crack cocaine to it, in Gaza, in Lebanon, with systems like Mosaic and others. And this is why I always say, you don't care about the Palestinian. You should, because the Palestinian also represents you. They want to track you just like they want to track them. Citizens are doing some things about it. Let's go to clip number 4 on the sheet.
A wild story tonight where it appears nearly 20,000 people have vouched for the whereabouts of a man accused of destroying Flock cameras in West Virginia. Thousands of people have publicly said they were with or saw 20-year-old Wesley Jackson during the time he was accused of the crime, with comments such as, "Couldn't be him. He was helping me replace the roof on a homeless shelter. And I saw him serving at a soup kitchen at the time of the incident. He has pleaded not guilty to the crimes against him."
That's the thing, is a law is only a law if it's enforceable, right? And if people will vote in a jury to convict. And if we're all living in this oppressive system that's designed to control us and everybody knows about it, it doesn't matter if the sheriff of Nottingham comes and brings you in. Ultimately, hopefully, your own citizens should see the merit of what's going on and free you because you didn't do anything wrong. A law that isn't moral, law that doesn't follow our Constitution, is not a law. It's oppression done on you by a corporation or by a foreign government or by our own government, right? And I don't think any American is ready to accept that. I think you're going to see a lot more stories like this. I think you're going to see a lot more cases around the country because people don't want to live this way. We don't. It's a lie. I remember there wasn't a self-checkout. I remember there wasn't Amazon Prime. I remember there weren't all these things. And they tell you you need them as an aspect of control over your life. Look at that. That is a cancer on our society right there. That is a cancer that is viewable in lifetime. There are all sorts of incidents of like fat lesbian police officers looking up your license plate, coming after you with a chainsaw, trying to get you, like doing like literally DARPA level stuff. Now it's readily available to your local police department. And that's a part of getting the power structure to adopt it. I bet it's pretty fun and cool to get to use all these tools on people all the time. And the thing is, you shouldn't ever be using these tools on anybody, not even in warfare, which is why our whole point about this being anti-war, anti-surveillance, pro-human, we're ideologically consistent. We don't want it to happen over there because we don't want it to happen over here and because nobody deserves it in general. I'm going to be joined by former Green Beret and intelligence expert Matt Murphy here in the next segment. We're looking forward to that. We're going to be covering the geopolitical waterfront, also talking more on the BRICS and the growth of the global South and its power. I want to talk to him as well on the specific logistics of bombing campaigns, how they work and how they function. He's an expert in that as well. I want you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Check out the methylene blue. Check out the power plant. Check out the methyl drive. Check out the methyl red. Check out the MK Ultra. Check out the ultimate life force. So much is available for you, but I check out that power drive bundle first. I created those products. That's power plant, methyl drive. That's cordyceps, rhodiola rosea, zinc, boron, selenium, CoQ10, PQQ, magnesium, and methylated vitamin B12, methylcobalamin. Get that power drive bundle at thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be right back with another powerful interview and another powerful War Room Live. Share the links, share the feed, share the transmission. You are the InfoWar. This is your mission, should you choose to accept it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, My Decision. and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
We like to have people with experience on the show. You can watch Daily Wire with the Dave Rubin and Ben Shapiro running around, or you can watch the Alex Jones Network, watch shows like War Room and AJN Live, share them with your friends or family. We like to get people with the experience. Matt Murphy, former Green Beret intelligence expert, joins us for the show. We had a phenomenal conversation, a phenomenal hour. We really covered, you know, the Greater Israel Project versus BRICS and the Abraham Accords and stuff like that. But getting into what's happening right now, I've been covering the news for 2 hours already. So I was like, oh, they're consolidating the route. And he's like, well, you're like, well, they're going to try to, but that's not going to happen. What's your view on that?
Well, so first of all, they've been saying this for what, since the war kicked off the second time. You know, we've won the war, we've lost the war over and over and over again. You know, Iran's entering the negotiations and, you know, according to Trump, and then, you know, of course, Iran denies that they're even talking to the U.S., which they just did again a couple hours ago, actually.
Right.
You know, so there's this.
All right, we lost connection for a second. He's going to be right back with us. And this is why I want to get somebody like Matt on, because when I hear about these things, I instantly distrust it. But I'm looking for a solution. He actually understands. And like the thing we talked about on the last stream or last show, I should say, was the concept of, you know, us being unprepared for future rounds of strikes and really us adopting Israeli foreign policy with how we use our missiles and our munitions. And this is something that he specified. I'll ask him the question. I'll get his exact credentials on it. But he's been involved, you know, in coordinating aircraft and bombing and things like that. We're not supposed to do what we've been doing in the Middle East. We're not supposed to do it. It's very simple. This is the geopolitical reality. We don't have the ability to fight these wars or wage these campaigns. While we wait for him to come back, I was going to cover this in the prior segment. I'm going to go ahead and get to it now. This is another domestic issue. This is a big deal. Utah Senator, and I don't like Utah because they got Mitt Romney there. Senator, I like Utah. We got Utah listeners. John Curtis proposes state-led migrant worker pilot program. Curtis's bill mirrors Utah's 2011, guest worker. That's a good name for somebody that comes into your community and takes your job and sends remittances home. Proposal that never received federal approval. They're trying to do it again. Well, I thought it was inhospitable. I thought that Republicans controlled the House and the Senate and they were going to take care of us and it was all going to be good. Mark my words, this is going to do very well. I'm sure there'll be some slight amendments to it, but it'll probably go through. It'll probably pass. Here's the thing. They got friends in hospitality. They got friends in big ag. They got friends in the big companies, friends in low places, friends in high places. Depends what you have to say. Here's the thing. The bipartisan plan would help fill the gap. That's what they say, by launching a pilot program for uniquely tailored visas accompanied by rigorous federal vetting that would include a process to investigate complaints of U.S. workers being displaced. The United States saw the highest levels of net immigration in American history under President Joe Biden, totaling more than 8 million entries. And that's just a fake number in general. Like, if you said that was legal, I'd probably believe you, but it's at least 20 million, 25 million people that came over here. He literally said, immediately surge the border once I'm president. So a little bit of a domestic roundup there. We got Matt Murphy joining us again. Let's just go ahead and get back into it. I was talking about, I was asking you a question related to the route. You said you don't think it's ever going to happen.
I don't think it is. I think it's political gaslighting at this point. I believe they're using the Strait of Hormuz right now to manipulate the markets, which we've seen them doing, you know, for the past few months, especially like, you know, Shell just reported its second highest quarterly profits in company history, right? I think they were about $9.8 billion last quarter. So, you know, as the price of gas is being played with, or the price of a barrel of oil is being played with. It's affecting the global economy, and it's allowing the elites and the corporations to price gouge right now. And you're seeing a lot of people get rich in these stock market pumps and dumps. You're seeing record profits again at Shell and other gas companies. And meanwhile, Americans are paying about $1 to $1.30 more a gallon of gas than when Trump got into office. So to me, it just seems like market manipulation more than anything. And it's gaslighting because, again, we didn't go into Iran because there were issues with the Strait of Hormuz, right? Initially, they told us we went into Iran because they had nuclear weapons. But, you know, Trump said he decimated their nuclear weapons capabilities right. the first time, right? So then we go back in because, oh, no, there's more, you know, capability for nuclear weapons. Of course, they've been saying that for 30 years. I know Netanyahu's been saying for, you know, they're 2 weeks away from a nuclear weapon for 30 years in Congress and Senate and everything else. So anyways, you know, when you look at what's happening with the war right now, Trump just doesn't want to admit defeat. And I think the only thing that he can give Iran a hard time on now is the Strait of Hormuz. And not just Iran, he can affect the global economy, right? Because this doesn't just hurt Iran. This hurts almost every country that moves or relies on the oil and the natural gas that moves through the Strait of Hormuz. So I think Trump is trying to utilize this partial naval blockade that America has established to harass Iran and cause trouble for Iran's allies and, of course, the people that are buying and selling oil, you know, with Iran. Right. So, you know, it's basically mafia tactics, and kind of take me back to what we talked to about yesterday or the day before. You cannot continue this without somebody doing something stupid, right? Because it's affecting their country, their economy, their people too much. So, of course, you're going to see somebody attack a ship. You're going to see some country do something stupid, or you're setting up the perfect environment for another false flag missile attack, blaming, you know, an attack on Iran and then going right back to a bombing campaign. Or, God forbid, you know, they blame the sinking of a U.S. ship on Iran.
Right.
And then
right.
now we're talking ground invasion. So the Strait of Hormuz is the perfect pot to stir to set up any type of situation you want to justify future military actions, because you're pissing the world off now. And, you know, there's a lot of reports out right now showing that fertilizer and food, the cost of fertilizer and food because of all of this is going to skyrocket this fall. And of course, America will be hit. But, you know, a lot of the third world countries, poorer countries will be severely affected by this. There's a lot of reports out saying, you know, a couple hundred million up to 700 million people could be starving this fall because of this. I mean, it's just a no-win situation for anyone as long as Trump does not make a decision on whether he's going to go all in or whether he's going to pull out and lick his wounds.
There is another, man-made global famine, COVID-19, and the mass migration that resulted from that. And people look at the Biden time period. You can't just look at the giant caravans of people coming to our border in a vacuum. Right. And this is what I see the war as, is kind of an economic COVID. What would this is also so terrifying, but we have to do it here. How easy would it be logistically, militarily, for one of these powers, United States, Israel, to create one of these false flags?
Oh, I mean, extremely easy. Israel's been doing this since, you know, let's go back to USS Liberty, when Israel attacked USS Liberty and blamed on that. You had the Marine barracks bombing, you know, where Israel withheld intelligence from the U.S. and a couple hundred Marines died, if not more, in that bombing attack. But then, you know, what Israel's done, and I think they're the masters at, again, a lot of people don't like to hear this, but October 7th. You know, same concept. You know, Israel will sacrifice our people and their own people, like 9/11. I mean, we all know, and I've heard your dad talk about this many times, Israel's involvement and, you know, in 9/11. But when you look at October 7th, Israel was warned by Egyptian intelligence and multiple other Middle Eastern intelligence entities that Hamas was going to do an attack. You know, they pulled their troops out of the area of the attack that Hamas was attacking the day before. You know, it took them somewhere between 6 6 to 20 hours, depending on the area, to even respond to the Hamas attack. And, you know, in that country's the size of New Jersey, a special operations, you know, air unit can be anywhere in the country within 10 minutes, just based on their base it's set up, right? So you have a country where everyone's armed, everyone gets trained to go into the military, except for the ultra-Orthodox. They have one of the most advanced border detection systems in the world, border fence security systems. And then they have the Iron Dome. And then you have Hamas flying in there and flying V formation like the Mighty Ducks and hang gliders, you know, and, you know.
Charlie Kirk said it. And that's the reality. This isn't like, this is very basic. Anyone who has been there, or who reports on being there, reports the same thing. You can, this is what he said. You can't go anywhere on the border without running into an 18-year-old with a machine gun. It's just impossible.
100%. And then not only that, the cameras, the detection systems, the early warning radars, everything that they have, you were not getting into Israel. It's just a fact. You're just not getting in Israel. There is no way that they did not allow that to happen, in my opinion, just based on what I know about their security, their military, their capabilities, you know, and they let people suffer and die again in a country the size of New Jersey for about 6 to 20 hours, depending on the area, after Hamas initially attacked. And when you have a military that's been given all the advanced equipment, the advanced training and everything by the U.S. and them not be able to handle a terrorist group and hang gliders, you just got to be kidding me. So again, there's, you know, when you look at what Israel will do, again, they'll kill their own people. They'll kill our people to pull us into, you know, the war with Iraq initially with 9/11 attack. And then you have the October 7th to justify the genocide in Gaza. So God forbid that they, you know, blow up a U.S. battleship or, you know, excuse me, destroyer, aircraft carrier, or something, do something catastrophic to the U.S. Navy that's out there in the Strait of Hormuz, blame it on Iran. And the next thing you know, the American people see an American ship burning in the Strait. And, you know, now we're full on ground invasion. They have every justification they need to destroy Iran. But the thing I think Americans really need to start thinking about is what does winning this Iran war, winning, right? This Iran war do for the United States of America? What does it do for our economy? What does it do for our security, American safety? What does the Iran war strategically do for the United States that is worth the potential of losing hundreds of thousands of U.S. troops' lives? And no one can answer that question. It only benefits Israel. And to go back to what we talked a couple of days ago, their Greater Israel Project, Pax Judaica, and them securing, you know, the oil in the Middle East with the Abraham's Accord and creating the Israeli super state.
It's really crazy to see a Zionist occupied government to this degree where it's just out there in the open. I mean, Trump openly wages war for them to a degree where he says, well, after this, I'll just go be prime minister of Israel. Imagine if any country our president was saying that about. It's just wild, right?
They call him Mashiach ben Yosef in Israel now.
Break it down.
And I think a lot of people haven't really looked into that. So in Jewish prophecy, now this is the more extreme Jewish prophecy. You can't really call it Zionist prophecy, but I would say Talmudic Kabbalah prophecy, people who follow the more extreme versions of Judaism. They believe that Mashiach ben Yosef or Messiah ben Joseph, depending, you know, in the English version, he's like the hype man Messiah. And they compare him to basically say that he's going to be someone who's a builder, someone that's very experienced in building and construction. And then also he commands a great military. That's what their prophecy says, right? And they also say that his right ear will be pierced by God to designate him as the Messiah, right? So a lot of Israelis started to believe when that, you know, shooting happened, you know, on Trump back, you know, during the campaign. Actually, that was the first time I was on your dad's show. He played the video. He didn't have me on, but he played my video breaking that down because I was a sniper as well. And when you see that right ear piercing to a lot of, you know, the more radical rabbi Zionist prophecy Israelis, they believe that that was Trump's designation as Mashiach ben Yosef, and that as a builder, he would be the one to build the third temple. But before that, he would use his great military to secure greater Israel for Israel. Israel, and that he's going to be like that hype man Messiah, and that he will do all the things necessary to lay the prophetic foundation and the physical foundation for the actual Jewish Messiah to rise to power. And Trump's made, kind of comments alluding to that. They openly talk about it in Israel. Now, again, this is prophecy. It's not conspiracy, but a lot of Israelis believe this.
Wow. And do you think Trump believes it himself, maybe?
I mean, I can't speak for Trump, but just can you look at the way he's been acting, right?
Right.
I say judge a man not by his words, but by his behavior, by his actions. And, Trump's been talking about himself almost like a god. The people around Trump, I forget the lady's name, Paula something,
Paula
the blonde-haired lady. Paula White, yeah, she talks about Trump as he's God, like he speaks for God. Like she says that she cannot go against Trump because he carries the word of God, right? And so you have people in his camp treating him like he's a God. You have Jews treating him like he's the Messiah. And then you have all these crazy, comments and things that Trump has made. I mean, let's go back to, remember when he posted the picture on Truth Social of him looking like Jesus and everybody lost their mind?
Pull it up, crew. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. And then he came up and then he said that, I was trying to be a doctor.
Right. And he's healing Epstein. He's healing Epstein.
Yeah, 100%. It's wild. But if you look in the, there's so much symbology in this one. So if you look at the top of that picture, you see a little bit of Luciferian symbology where it almost looks like, Bahamut. Instead of an angel, right? So you can take that as an angel wings on a soldier, or you can say, okay, that looks like a little image of Bahamut's head, right? Sort of ball. So, there's just a lot of weird things going on, in this photo. And, obviously the guy.
It was also edited. It was also edited. The first one just had like soldiers in the back, kind of like angelic or like ethereal soldiers. And then it changed to the headless demon creature. Indeed.
Right. And then he posted the edited one. And then he said, I made a mistake. But, so he, like they said, they're calling him the King of Israel, the Messiah. They're calling him all kinds of things. And, again, it kind of ties back into this, prophetic, talks and things that have been happening in the military, saying that they're going to, bring back the Messiah and fight for the Holy Lands and all these things. So, man, we live in some really weird times, and sometimes I almost feel crazy for saying it out loud, but they do, and they are, and they believe it. And, it's
kind of the point. It's kind of the point. You have to be as bad as you can be to get away with it. And I think that's what a lot of them realize. And I think that's what Netanyahu's personal calculation is. I mean, think about it. The people that are going to replace him are going to be 10 times worse, guaranteed. But what do you think his personal interests are, as in, like, what does he want out of all this? Is he truly, like you say, like, it's kind of like he's working an apocalypse plan just because that's what, like, they want, also what he might want as well? Or do you think he's got kind of a grand strategy to stay out of prison irregardless? What do you think?
I mean, probably a little bit of both, right? So if you look on Netanyahu's side, right, he's being charged for all kinds of crimes inside of Israel. But as long as he keeps Israel at war, they can't, take him to trial. And Trump has been a big proponent of them dropping the charges against Netanyahu. They just destabilized the International Criminal Court, right? And the judge, I believe, that, put the charges against Netanyahu, Rubio, just openly admitted to being a part of unseating that judge. So you're seeing a lot of the things that Trump would fall into camp with Netanyahu on, for as far as war crimes and the people that would be against him. You're seeing a lot of those people being publicly taken down, right? And I think they're sending, again, another sign to anyone that would then step up into anyone's place and dare try to charge them for war crimes, dare try to charge them for, the things they're doing. I mean, I haven't even kept up with this, but I know there's a lot of people now that are starting to investigate all of the insider trading between Trump and his sons, during his presidency.
Yes.
The billions of dollars that they've been making, so there's just crimes on top of crimes on top of crimes, not to mention the Epstein files. Right. And how many times that, he is mentioned in there. And man, I just feel like we're watching, a leadership that's completely hijacked, completely compromised. They know it. They know we all know it, or everyone that's awake knows it. And they're just getting away with murder while they can. And at the end of the day, who's going to hold them accountable? You know, all the generals that disagreed with Trump on the war with Iran and, you know, the chiefs of staff and everybody else, they all quit. They're all gone already. And they fired everyone else. You know, so now you have nothing but yes men left in the military. I mean, the obvious fact of that is that there's so many people involved in the decision to drop that bomb, like we talked about last time on that you know, girls' school.
Right.
Those were just nothing but yes men. They openly, admittedly, and willingly committed war crimes, you know, for an unlawful order. And so, you know, that to me is the most scary precedent ever, because I tried to think about putting myself back in those shoes. If I was sitting in that fire cell, and if I was the JTAC who would be given the order to tell that plane or that attacking entity cleared hot, would I do that? What could I consciously say that, knowing that those bombs were headed to a school full of little girls? And I couldn't. You know, I never got put in that situation during my career. We didn't do things like that. But just thinking about the fact that someone in our military has to sleep at night knowing that they're the ones who followed an unlawful order to commit war crimes and killed children. And I think that's just a sign of where this country's at, that there's no depth that we won't go to in order to accomplish this objective. So again, all the way back to the Strait of Hormuz, it's a dog and pony show. It's a gaslighting show. They know they didn't have nuclear weapons. The people are sick of hearing about nuclear weapons. We know they're not there. Now they're just stirring the pot, and they're just waiting for something bad to happen. And something bad is going to happen. There's just too much tension, too many countries involved, too much money at stake, and it can't go on forever. So they have to get to, in my opinion, a situation that would lead into full-scale Iranian invasion, because at the end of the day, that's what Israel wants. That's what Israel has to have for them to be able to create greater Israel. They cannot do that with Iran standing in their way.
Right. I think it really is all, when it comes down to it, like, how do they sleep at night? How do people deal with this? It comes down to the appeal of authority. Right. It's like, well, you know, President Trump, the commander in chief, he told me to do it. And if he says it might have been Iran, it might have been Iran, even if I dropped the bomb. I think that's the level of cognitive dissonance you have to have. I think that's totally achievable with enough programming, brainwashing, whatever. I think that's a situation we find ourselves in. We got like 2 minutes left. What do you think?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's definitely a possibility. But, you know, when you look at how our military is trained, right, it's indoctrination in the first place, right? You know, when I joined the military, I had a Toby Keith song playing in the background, you know, I'm going to put a boot up somebody's ass, you know, red, white, and blue, you know, just patriotic. And I get in, and then, you know, when I end up in Sadr City, Iraq, and, you know, I'm kicking cans waiting for one of them to blow up because I'm walking in front of the truck because the truck's more valuable than me, you know, that's really when the wake-up call, you know, kind of went off on. I get it. War is more than the military is military. But once you're in, you're indoctrinated. And depending on what your job's going to be, you know, whether you're just a boot or an infantry guy, a grunt, you know, a Marine that's on the ground who just does what it's told, it puts the lotions on its skin, it doesn't ask questions, you know, all the way up to a special operator or an intelligence analyst or agent. I mean, there's so many different levels of indoctrination and also so many different levels of, you know, I would say compartmentalization and classification, right? So the higher up you get, those decisions, those detrimental decisions are usually made, you know, in entities that are outside of, you know, the conventional laws, you know, law of war, outside the conventional Geneva Convention things. And they utilize some of those types of people to do some very dark things. You know, I mean, we all know that a lot of our CIA is compromised by other countries, mostly Israel, right? There's departments in our own intelligence agencies that are not loyal to the United States of America.
Absolutely. Powerful information. You know, thank you so much, Matt Murphy. We'll see you soon. Thank you so much for joining us on War Room Live. People listening, follow him, Matt_Murphy_23. You were on Instagram, very big on Instagram, and we're trying to build up your X account. Go follow him right now at Matt_Murphy_23. Thank you so much. We'll be right back after this break.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do, they want to silence you, is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Keep your hand on your gun. Don't you trust anyone.
That's right. We're an armed broadcast here. We believe in the Second Amendment. I've been arguing for gun ownership and Pro 2A stuff really since I was a little kid. I've got videos of me running around in Joseph A. Banks' suit, you know, harassing adults, trying to get them to support fake gun control legislation to show how little they knew about firearms. Of course, that's always the key thing people don't get. People don't understand. They watch a Hollywood movie. They watch something like Heat, where there's like a, well, I guess even in Heat, they're reloading and doing a good job. They watch one of these major productions where it's essentially like a infinite mag dump, infinite ammo, GTA, like up, down, left, right type of hack. That's not the reality of guns. And I'm going to showcase something here because it's not entirely, I want to give this guy his flowers, of course, a heroic bystander who, of course, used his firearm to help stop a gunman shooting rampage at an Idaho In-N-Out, this man right here. But he also didn't hit the guy. He didn't hit the guy he was firing at. But here's the thing. The reason why I bring all this up, Americans need to understand the reality of firearm ownership. If you're not a firearm owner, if you don't train with your gun, if you don't own your gun, if you don't know how to use your gun to protect you and your family, you are essentially at the mercy of violent, insane hoodlums who roam the streets and cities of various places around the country 24/7. And the reality of this story, and this is what the heroic bystander says, Jordan Salinas, 35 years old, this is what he said. The gunman seemed unusually comfortable aiming that rifle at those cars. As soon as this, as some rounds started coming back at him, everything changed. All that bravado immediately crumbled. Yeah, because it's a really stupid idea to get in a shootout with somebody. And in the world of the internet and the video game and the Fortnite lobby where you can just, you know, virtually in a video game, you know, just kind of mag dump or do whatever, people have become unaware that, hey, if you become a mass murdering psycho, people are going to shoot back at you. They're going to stop you from doing what you're doing, and hopefully they'll kill you. Hopefully, if you're a sick little freak who goes out there with a long gun to go hurt innocent civilians, innocent people in America, innocent citizens not doing anything wrong, you deserve to get killed like a dog in the street because that's what you are. And this is why in my bio, I say I'm pro-death penalty. I'm a death penalty advocate. Tell me how many pedophiles, tell me how many mass shooters, tell me how many murderers, assassins, rapists, how many of these people do we have to pay $140,000 on? Like, that's the state tax. You know, each prisoner costs that much money, around like over $100,000 a year. We're doing that to keep the worst people in the country alive? What? But then they'll throw you in jail for 20 years for some minor drug violation? Are you kidding me? Like, here's the thing. If you let people do the most heinous things in the country 24/7 and get away with it, like that guy that stabbed Irina Zarutska, the Ukrainian immigrant woman on the train, that guy had like 19 prior convictions. Pull up his rap sheet. Pull up the rap sheet of the guy that did that horrific murder, right, who claims to be schizophrenic, really demon-possessed. We all know the truth about that. This guy shouldn't have been out on the street, all right? Now, you can say, oh, well, the system tried. The system tried accountability. He needs a social worker. He needs a therapist. Oh, he needs a social worker? He needs a therapist? How about 50 years in prison after your third or fifth violent offense? How about that? How about you can't go punch people in the face, you can't go commit armed robbery, can't murder people, and then go, oh, I'm schizophrenic, I get away with the crime. Look at her. She's dying right there. She's literally dying right there. And we live in a society that allows for people like this to walk the street, that allows for people like that to bump into you and your children as you cross the road. And because our government, look at that, spans, this is the guy's criminal record, 14 prior arrests, 5-year prison sentence for robbery with a dangerous weapon. 5 years? How about 25 years? How about that? That'd be a nice start. It's unbelievable. The idea that somebody can run up to you with a gun to try to take everything you have, including your life, because that's what they're willing to do, using that gun, using that weapon. I hate that footage of the blood. It's disgusting. Someone can do that, and then, oh, this is a good boy, this is a good girl. They get 5 years in jail. It is what it is. We'll reform them. Of course, the person whose life they just destroyed, the person whose property they just stole, the person they just killed, that's irrelevant. Oh, and hey, maybe they didn't kill him. Maybe they just beat him up, left him alive. That's not so bad, right? This is how you get the road to hell. It's paved with good intentions. And when you have some like fat 55-year-old white lady up there who believes in like libtard hillbot politics, and she sees somebody that's a violent, dangerous, deranged criminal, she's not going to hold them accountable. He's not going to hold them accountable if it's a male judge. Don't want to discriminate there. They're just going to let them go because it's the boomer "We Are the World" commercial. You know, it's like, we are the world, we demographically replace all our countries because liberal and good. We destroy our cities and close all the asylums and let the criminals roam the street because we're liberal. Like, that's literally, like, they get off on it. And it's a humiliation ritual for the rest of us. It's a literal pain ritual for the rest of us. It's a sacrifice of our future simply because they're not brave enough, they're not strong enough in their morals to enforce a law. Because they have no morals, they don't care. If you support a war, if you'd support reckless American spending, then sure, why not support insane liberal criminal justice policy? Well, why not? Because, hey, we don't want to go to jail now, do we? That's the whole reason why Trump's not prosecuting Fauci. That's the whole reason why Trump's not going after Biden, is because if he did, he would be vulnerable on the same offenses. And ultimately, the judges, they're criminals. They're all corrupt, in my opinion. That's my speculation, not making any claim about anyone we mentioned. All right. My speculation is that they're all corrupt, and they're corrupt to a degree where they just don't care. So in that world, the only protection, the only recourse is yourself training, getting a high quality rifle, getting a high quality shotgun, getting a high quality handgun, and really making sure you know how to use it and you know that you are prepared. I'm going to read this footage of the event. This is that In-N-Out shooting that was stopped by the armed civilian that I'm reading here. Captured by a witness, showed Williams firing into a Tesla EV near a supercharger before attempting to run from the scene. Three people were killed and two others were injured in a shootout or a shooting near an In-N-Out in Twin Falls, Idaho. The shooter reportedly targeted Tesla vehicles. We got an Elon hate crime here at the nearby supercharger. The suspect has been confirmed dead. I guess the cops killed him. Our thoughts are with the victims, their loved ones, and everyone else. And that's a thing. When you look at the situation, it could have been a lot worse. Could have been a dozen people killed. Could have been a dozen people murdered. It wasn't, because even though they were inefficient and kind of did a bad job by not killing the guy immediately, like I would have shot him in the head because I would have been defending people. They prevented the threat. They ultimately led to the police resolving the problem. And that's the thing. Are you going to defend innocent lives? Are you going to get your concealed carry permit? Are you going to do the firearms training that you know you need to do to defend your community? Are you going to be a responsible citizen? Are you going to be a good guy with a gun? Let me give you an anecdote from back in the day, just to show you how long I've been doing this. When I was 10 years old, I did a report on gun control that's now lost to the annals of history. That was back in 2012. And in 2012, Obama commissioned the CDC, I think in 2011, to write a report on guns as a public health issue. Right. And you can look at the COVID programming and all of that from back in the day. Like they try to make things a medical issue so they can institute total draconian government control because, oh, it's a disease. Gun violence is a disease. What they found was, I believe the number at the time, 37,000 gun deaths a year. I think 73% of that, if I'm getting the stats right, I mean, it's been 10 years, so I barely remember, but I do remember. I think 73% of that was gang related and or suicide. Everything else was in that other percentage, and the vast majority of it was handgun crime, not mass shootings. Take a guess, take a gander, just at home, just shout out a number when I say this. How many defensive uses of a firearm were displayed in that same study? In direct contrast, the CDC laid that out as a point. How many? 500,000 to 3 million defensive uses of a firearm every single year. That's the math on that. That's why we have the Second Amendment. Of course, for the government and the tyranny and all that, but really because it is a vital utility. It is a life-saving option. It's emergency rescue equipment. This is like keeping a defibrillator. This is like keeping an emergency supply of nitroglycerin if everyone was always about to have like a heart attack or something. Like this is, if you need it and you don't have it, you are screwed. Completely and totally screwed. And the old saying is, you'd rather be a soldier in the garden than a gardener in a war. Right. That makes a little bit more sense. And it might be a little uncomfortable to get more prepared, more awake, more alert, do more training. You have to do it. And the time to do it is now. Take advantage of the, it sounds crazy, the lull and the peace and the prosperity that we currently have. We won't have it forever. So I just think that's a key highlight to do. I would just say everyone, including myself, needs to train more. This guy, again, they didn't hit the guy, but that was enough. Just the display of the firearm and the exchange there was enough to make the gunmen cower and run away and flee in terror. So a little bit of a white pill there. Get a little angel hat for you today. Thank you. Appreciate that. His name again, so bad at names. His name again, Jordan Salinas. So I wanted to cover that. And you make no mistake, the gun control issue will be at the forefront, front and center in 2028 and beyond. The argument that will be made, and this is the real problem, one of the real problems with the Iran war and our insane geopolitical policy, also the same problem with supporting Ukraine. The Republicans use their political capital to do wars. This is ultimately why I'm not calling myself a Republican and why I disavow Trump. And I consider him to be disgusting, and I spit on him, in fact. Like, here's the thing. They take us to war after lying about it. They are a pro-war party. It is what they do. We give them political capital. It's like, hey, I got a grocery list. I'm going to write my grocery list really quick. Low tax. Anti-trust. So breaking up lobbyist stuff. Anti-war. No more neocons. No more. And what am I going to say here? No more. No more government waste. No more corruption. So we look at this list here, and you go to the grocery store, or you're supposed to go to the grocery store. Trump didn't go to the grocery store. He went to the liquor store. He went to the liquor store, and he spent the $100 we gave him to spend on, you know, meat and potatoes, essential groceries, essential nutrients that we needed to survive. He spent it on Jim Beam. He spent it on Grey Goose. He spent it on Tito's. He spent it on the wine cooler. He spent it on the moonshine. He spent it on the Japanese whiskey. Anything but low tax, antitrust, anti-war, no more neocons, no more government waste, and no more corruption. Anything but that. That's too simple and too easy and too good to do. We have to use this insane political capital. Keep in mind, they didn't just get it in a vacuum. We shattered the Democratic Party for them. We shattered it. We completely shattered it. It was the alternative media that did that, not just once, but twice, against Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, and against Hillary Clinton. And the first time, you know, here's the thing. Trump didn't start any new wars. We had Trump lose a bunch of money. We had Trump lose $2.2 billion. We had the Russia thing constantly, the hoax constantly, the attacks, indictments constantly. He was attacked. He was under pressure. He was under siege. It's not necessarily fair to ask for the sun, the moon, and the stars in the first term. See how fair I am? I supported him in 2024. I don't like having to do this. This isn't fun for me. I don't enjoy it. I'm not like all of you that started doing this 5 years ago. I was the person that got my dad to support Donald Trump. Okay, and I'm sitting here telling you this. I'm sitting here telling you this. And to get back to what I was saying, in the first term, we see the loss. We see what he has to sacrifice. We see him not even get anything done, which is the true example of the sacrifice. Is really the best you could ever expect for, is gridlock at a maximum with the establishment two-party system controlling everything. What happens now? What happens now when he comes back? $3.2 billion, okay? In companies allied with his sons involved in defense spending, defense contracting. Because when you spend over $100 billion in just over a month, the money is not real anymore. The money is not worth anything. And it's soon literally true. They just say, oh, I'm Scott Bessent. I'm just going to write here and take a photo of it and put it on Twitter. And people are going to see that we're going to buy or we're going to put $10 billion into the Japanese yen. We're just going to do that because we decide we're going to do that. Oh, wait, you sitting out. We don't get $10 billion. When do we get $10 billion, $100 billion? That doesn't happen for us because we're not the priority. This guy's worried about collapsing other countries' economies, okay? He's not worried about you or me. And eventually he's worried about taking what you got too, because anywhere they can do wealth extraction, they will do it. And that is the modern geopolitical reality. I want to go to clip number 6, which is Ted Cruz claiming the communists and Islamists, they want to cancel Thanksgiving and Christmas and establish Sharia law in America. Well, who's making that possible? Who's generating support for these crackpots? Certainly no reasonable American would support one of these crazy Democrats when the amazing Chad, awesome Republicans are there for him, right? Go ahead and play it. I got a take on this.
Is that where the energy is? They want to cancel Thanksgiving?
They're crazy enough, yes. They want to cancel Thanksgiving. They want to cancel Christmas. Look, these communists hate America. They hate capitalism. El Sayed is also an Islamist, as is Mandami. And look, you see the green-red convergence where the communists and the Islamists, they want Sharia law. They hate Jews. They hate Christians. They hate capitalism. They hate America. All of this is coming together in a way that is really a toxic, toxic stew.
All the buzzwords, all the fear-mongering, all the fear porn, all designed to funnel you into the cattle chute like a good little goyim to go to the polls. The reality is, Ted, where were we at in 2024? I'm sorry. Did Trump win the popular vote? I think he did. Did Trump win record numbers of young black and brown Americans? Yes, he did. Did Trump win just record numbers of young American men in general? Yes, he did. Well, why was that? Was it because the Democrats always neck and neck, but Trump really convinced him at the end? No, Joe Biden literally melted down computer 404 error code on live TV. And they had the Indian lady who's not even black, Kamala Harris, pretend to be running against Trump. And then she got obliterated as well. I stopped myself from making a really nasty joke. Let's give myself a pause here. So you have the complete shattering of the Democratic Party. How did the Republicans get to a point where they're so terrified and concerned of the Islamist jihadi communists taking over? You know, things are going to be so great with the economic recovery and with the end of all the evil policy and the end of the neocon. Whoa, we can't do that. We can't. We got allies in Israel. We got security interests. We got to do it. Israel's going to attack. We feared American soldiers would die in retaliation. So we had to do it. Only 24, 48 hours. They literally told you this was only going to last 2 days. That's how much they disrespect you. That's how much they don't care about what you think. When he says right there, when he makes the comment of the Muzzies are coming to take over your country or whatever, he has done that to you himself. He has done. It's so sick. We have 15 times the Muslim immigration post 9/11 than pre. And all the time we're supposed to be doing this war on terror to, you know, stop this threat. Well, that doesn't make much sense now, does it? You're literally, Netanyahu wants us to take all the Palestinians. He'll never take them. He's not interested in that. But we get to do it. We get to do it after being used as the engine to start all these conflicts and all these wars. And we got a little sneaky Sneeko there. Sneeko blocked me, which is just honestly a punk-ass move to do. Like, I'm not a big deal. I'm nobody. You make me somebody by blocking me, which is crazy. I am so glad I don't have to exist in, like, the minor leagues kingdom of, like, the internet streamer people. People go, oh, no cop, bro. You danced around in the club to Heil Hitler and use a B word. I can't curse on the live radio. But seriously, how are you going to dance around and say N-word Heil Hitler, which I'll absolutely say on my morning show any time of the week because I'm a free speech absolutist. How are you going to do that and then cape and pretend you're Malcolm X / King Imam? How exactly does that work? And when you're running around doing throat slitting motions in the street, when you're running around chanting, getting people riled up very openly. All right. Myron Gaines's brother has called you out on this. Muslim Lantern has commented on what you've done. Literally establishment people that do Islam apologetics, Muslim apologetics have called out Sneeko for what he's a grifter. He's a grifter. He's like an eighth to every ethnicity. He can't decide what his identity is. He had like the coolest friends in the world and the craziest relationships. And he gave it all away to go marry somebody in a beekeeper outfit in Saudi Arabia. And it's just like, I don't get it. I don't understand. I kind of have like a Greek mythological history to myself. Sneeko is kind of somebody that appeared on the internet. It's a bit different for me. Like I have something that I'm tied to a little bit. That would be my dad, of course, and the origin of my skills. But for somebody that builds their platform and does all these things, you got to pick a lane. You're either Messi, you're either Malcolm X, you're either Dr. Umar, you're either Uthman. You got to pick one. So that's what I'm calling for there. And the whole reason why this ideology is growing in the West, to Sneeko's credit and Sneeko's point, is because when you call out genocide and you name it for what it is and you say it's going on, you say it's a reality, you instantly have more credibility than somebody that says it's not real. So everybody that's fear-mongered about Sneeko and blah, 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 whatever, we poke fun on the network. We have a good time on the network. For everybody that's poked fun at Mr. Sneaky Sneeko there with his little hijab, you know, he's trans as well. Everyone's poked fun at him. It's not a real problem, you know, and he doesn't have the real problem. And I think that's what makes people that are actually Muslim angry and upset about it, is he's not representative of them. So let's go ahead and get off that topic and into the next one. Iran set to emerge with more Hormuz leverage than before with the war under draft U.S.-Oman deal. And we're going to be covering this and more with Michael Yon here in the next hour. We'll look forward to that. President Trump said late Tuesday that talks with Iran are moving along very nicely in a highly fluid and ambiguous situation where it appears the two sides are only interacting indirectly at best. But the Iranian side has continued to insist that there are currently no peace or ceasefire talks happening, but only the Iran-Oman negotiations, which focus on reopening the strait, which was open before the war. We closed it, just reminding everybody, in setting terms of how it will be managed. Consistent with this narrative, Al Jazeera freshly cites Iran's state broadcaster with reports that talks between Iran and Oman over the Strait of Hormuz have nothing to do with the U.S. See, we just lie over and over and again, over and over again. But Washington is presenting it as a U.S.-Oman deal for the Strait's reopening, even if it fundamentally remains an Iranian-Omani proposal. Here's the thing. You give people like Sneeko a position when you do insane stuff like this. The reality is, when you're calling out what's going on in the Middle East versus trying to cover it up or deny it, you don't really have a leg to stand on. I'm going to be joined by a geopolitical expert, analyst, special forces operator as well, combat journalist Michael Yon, here in the next segment. But I want to tell you guys right now about thealexjonesstore.com. We have an amazing product. It's called Methylene Blue, bioactive metabolic. You should check it out. Read the studies on it. Talk to your doctor about it. Google Scholar, PubMed, any kind of AI search engine you're going to type it into. Learn about this ingredient. It's very powerful. Over 80% reorder rate for a reason. We also have products made especially to go in line with mitochondrial health in general. That's going to be the Power Plant and Methyl Drive. Power Plant, Methyl Drive, super incredible, super important for people that are older. People that have experienced a lot of like senescent cell, a lot of toxicity, inflammation over the course of their life. Here's what you got to keep in mind. As you get older, as you age, you build up senescent cells. And as you have more senescent cells, it's where the random pains come from, because it's inflammation, stress, stuff like that. It all collects over time. You can take certain adaptogens. You can take certain metabolics. You can take certain things to hopefully attenuate some of that and give us a longer health span, which means, you know, just like a more active, healthy life. That's what things like cordyceps and Rhodiola roja are known for. A lot of the time, people don't understand that you just need a little bit of a boost to get yourself out of a rut. That's what Power Plant represents to me. I really, really enjoy using that product personally. I've been getting back in the gym and working out a lot. Been taking Power Plant when I do alongside the Methyl Drive. We also have the Methylene Red, which is available at discount at thealexjonesstore.com, combined with the powerful t-shirts, powerful apparel, hats, you name it, water filtration, you name it. Sign up today and get 50% off that Ultra Methylene Red. We got hats, hoodies, and t-shirts, 40% off, limited time offers. Here's the thing. You sign up, become a VIP. You get all these points over time. You really help contribute to the operation, help us stay on air. We do not get to turn on the power without you. We do not get to come sit in the studio without you. If you think we're doing good broadcasts and doing good shows, I need you right now to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Find a product for yourself. Find a product for a loved one, a friend, a family member, a coworker. Get your Christmas shopping out of the way. Got a birthday coming up in a month, 2 months, 3 months. Go ahead and go to thealexjonesstore.com. I guarantee there's going to be something for you. How do you not get the shower filter? It's got a happy little frog friend on it. It's going to filter your water. It's going to remove over 99% of the chlorine. It's going to remove over 94% of the lead. We've got that available for you. You've got the tank system as well. I have been selling water filters since I was 8 years old. I've been selling water filtration since I was 8 years old, and we have the limited edition straight frog shower head available for you at thealexjonesstore.com. Turn that camera on. Turn those lights on. Turn the mic on. Give us the energy we need to win this information war. At thealexjonesstore.com, the powerful Michael Yon joins me in the third hour.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about Methylene Blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does Methylene Blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, Methylene Blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of Methylene Blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life.
Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka, potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow, the methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.